Yasodhanandana Vrajajanaranjana. Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tidamani Namaste Sarasvati Devi Guru Vani Pcha Nirvishesha Shambhavari Pastu Chidi Sitarani. Gonna need a book. You haven't memorized the Bhagavatam yet. Thank you. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
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 Canto 4, Chapter 7, Text 12. Yukteshu evam pramatasya kutum. Is this the right verse?
Yes.
Okay. Kutumba asakta chetasa asasada sa vai kala ya apiya piya yoshitam yukte shvevam pramatasya kutumba sakta chitasa asasada savai kalo yo priya priya yoshitam yukte shrevam pramatasya kutumba sakta chitasa asasada savai kalo yo priya priya yoshitam yukte shvevam pramatasya kutumba sakta chetasa asasada savai kalo yo priya priya yoshitam anyone else wish to chant it?
Yutesh eva pramatasya.
No one else, ladies? Is this the brightest the light gets in here? I'm struggling. I think I have this. Okay. And these are brand new glasses, too. Yukteshu. To beneficial activities. Evam.
Evam.
Thus.
Pramatasya.
Being inattentive.
Being inattentive.
Kutumba.
Kutumba.
To kith and kin.
To kith and kin.
Asakta.
Asakta.
Attached.
Attached.
Chetasa.
Chetasa.
Consciousness.
Consciousness.
Asasada.
Asasada.
Arrived.
Arrived.
Sa.
Sa.
That.
That.
Vai.
Vai.
Certainly.
Certainly.
Kala.
Kala.
Time.
Time.
Ya.
Ya.
Which.
Which.
Apriya.
Apriya.
Not very pleasing.
Not very pleasing.
Priya Yoshitam.
Priya Yoshitam.
For persons attached to women.
To persons attached to women.
Translation. Thus King Paranjana, being attached to fruitive activities, karma kandiya, as well as kith and kin, and being obsessed with polluted consciousness, eventually arrived at that point not very much liked by those who are overly attached to material things. Purport. In this verse, the words Priya Yoshitam and Apriya are very significant. The word Yoshit means woman, and Priya means dear or pleasing. Death is not very much welcome for those who are too much attached to material enjoyment, which culminates in sex. There is an instructive story in this connection. Once, when a saintly person was passing on his way, he met a prince, the son of a king, and he blessed him, saying, "My dear prince, may you live forever." The sage next met a saintly person and said to him, "You may either live or die." Eventually, the sage met a brahmachari devotee, and he blessed him, saying, "My dear devotee, may you die immediately." Finally, the sage met a hunter, and he blessed him, saying, "Neither live nor die." The point is that those who are very sensual and are engaged in sense gratification do not wish to die. Generally, a prince has enough money to enjoy his senses. Therefore, the great sage said that he should live forever. For as long as he lived, he could enjoy life. But after his death, he would go to hell. Since the brahmachari devotee was leading a life of severe austerities and penances and order to be promoted back to Godhead, the sage said that he should die immediately so that he need not continue to labor hard and could instead go back home back to Godhead. A saintly person may either live or die, for during his life he is engaged in serving the Lord, and after his death he also serves the Lord. Thus this life and the next are the same for a saintly devotee, for in both he serves the Lord. Since the hunter lives a very ghastly life due to killing animals, and since he will go to hell when he dies, he is advised to neither live nor die. King Paranjana finally arrived at the point of old age. In old age, the senses lose their strength, and although an old man desires to enjoy his senses, and especially sex life, he is very miserable because his instruments of enjoyment no longer function. Such sensualists are never prepared for death. They simply want to live on and extend their life by so-called scientific advancement. Some foolish Russian scientists also claim that they are going to make man immortal through scientific advancement. Under the leadership of such crazy fellows, civilization is going on. Cruel death, however, comes and takes all of them away, despite their desire to live forever. This type of mentality was exhibited by Hiranyakashipu, but when the time was ripe, the Lord personally killed him within a second. Om Agyanati Marandasya Gananjana Silakaya Chakshura Unminijam Yatasmai Shi Gurudev Namaha Ukam Koyoti Vachalam Bhangam Langayate Garim Yad Kripa Tamaham Bande Shi Gurundi Nataranam Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutale Shi Mati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Itinamane Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pachanane Nivishesha Shanyavari Pastichade Satanane Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Shri Dvaita Gadadhara Srivasati Gaura Bhaktivinoda. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Translation, again, thus King Paranjana, being attached to fruitive activities, karma kandiya, as well as kith and kin, and being obsessed with polluted consciousness, eventually arrived at that point not very much liked by those who are overly attached to material things. Prabhupada's commentary makes it so clear. Only a fool excessively attached and blind could ignore what he had to say. This story is very instructive, the story of King Paranjana. It's actually Narada Muni telling a story of King Pachinabharishat. And he used an allegorical personality to replace King Pachinabharishat to let him know what he was going to go through because of his attachment to fruitive activities. Previously, I think his sons, the Prachetas, had performed great sacrifices and were given instruction by Lord Shiva. And after hearing Lord Shiva's instructions and actually engaging in devotional service, Narada Muni took a visit to their father, King Pachinabharishat, and took the opportunity to try to help him to realize that you should be following the same path as your sons. You're engaged in fruitive activities and you have very little idea of the implications that you're going to confront by attachment to fruitive activities. King Pachinabharishat was, I believe he was performing animal sacrifices. And in his efforts to perform these sacrifices, which are meant for fruitive gain, he was ignorant of the fact that, in fact, I think Narada Muni even showed him in the sky. He said, "You see all these animals that you're killing?" He said, "You see them all in the sky? They're all waiting for you to die." So they can come and pierce your body. Because by performance of your fruitive activities, you're engaged in ritualistic performances, which appear to be beneficial by providing you some future material gain of fruit or enjoyment in this life. But just as Krishna says, in Bhagavad Gita, Yamimam Pushpatam Vacham Vedavadarita. What is it? Nadyadastinivadana. Men of small knowledge are attached to the flowery words of the Vedas, which recommend various types of sacrifices for elevation to the heavenly planets, result in good birth, power, and so forth. Being attached to sense gratification and opulent life, they think there's nothing more than this and to be found in the Vedas. In other words, persons of small knowledge are interested in only pursuing religious activity which provides immediate or some fruitive gain in the future. That's the nature of fruitive activities. Prabhupada gives the example, I think it's in this canto of the Bhagavatam, that karmakandiya activities are like a woman who wants to wear a gold or diamond nose ring or earring. And he says that in order to wear the, although it's gold and it's diamond and very beautiful, very opulent, very attractive, they have to undergo some pain by piercing the nose or the ear in order to wear the ring. So he says similarly that karmakandiya is like this, that they're attached to some fruitive gain, and they have to undergo great inconvenience in order to obtain it. And therefore they do not realize that not only do they have great inconveniences that they have to undergo, but whatever results they'll get by their fruitive activities, although it will give them some enjoyment, the fruits will be temporary and will end in suffering. And Prabhupada tells the story right here. He uses the example of the prince. Obviously, the prince has a very elevated aristocratic position in this life because of probably some pious activities performed in the previous life. So the sage is saying to the prince, may you live a long life. So he's giving the benediction. Yeah, live a long life, because now you're getting all the fruits of your pious activities in this life. But don't die, because as soon as you die, because all you've been doing is enjoying the fruits. Sure, maybe you gave a little charity here or there, or you perform some pious activities. But because your life has been situated in one of reaping the fruits of previous pious activities, you've been enjoying, and therefore, go ahead, live a long life. Because when you die, as Prabhupada says right here, you're going to hell. That's what he says. And that's the nature, is that, that's the nature of temporary happiness, is that one becomes intoxicated and illusioned in ignorance by thinking, hey, I'm enjoying. It's not so bad. Whatever I did, I'm getting away with it. It's pretty good right now. I'm enjoying. And therefore, as soon as one thinks like that, it's fruitive, because the mentality is, hey, I'm enjoying. Or even if sometimes it's not even, hey, I'm enjoying. It's sometimes it's just, hey, I'm not suffering. It's good. Life's good, right? Like the commercial, LG, Like, I know that in India, LG is very big. Electronics, gadgets, everything's LG. Life's good. That's how they promote it. Life's good. Hey, I'm not suffering. So it must be good. But actually, that mentality is also fruitive. Life's good because I'm not suffering. So therefore, I must have done something right, at least right now, to not be suffering. And so why don't I enjoy it? The fact that I'm not suffering. And not only do they try to, and how do they try to enjoy it? By trying to avoid anything that will disturb that condition of not suffering. Right? They're very careful. It's going good now, and you know, and I think I know what I might have done before, so it's going good now. And at every moment, they live in constant fear that I don't want to do it again. So it comes back, and I have to suffer again. So they live in constant fear. In fact, that's what Prabhupada says when he describes, what is it, pavarga? He says, apavarga. Apavarga means liberation. And pavarga is apavarga. Pavarga is pa, 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 ba, ba, and ma. It's made up of five syllables. Pavarga is parishama. First is pa, parishama, which means hard labor. So a person works very hard, like the karma kandiya, a lot of work, the pain that one has to undergo in order to get the pleasure. So parishama means hard labor, and then pa is pena. And pena means foaming at the mouth. So when a person works very hard, he starts foaming at the mouth, like the ass who works hard and starts foaming. And then the next stage of working very hard, foaming at the mouth, is ba, which is biartata. Biartata means disappointment. I worked hard, foamed at the mouth, to get, and finally got it, but biartata, disappointment. So they're disappointed because it didn't really pan out the way they wanted it, the way it hoped. And then what happens? Ba is baya. Baya means fear. Right? Worked hard, labored, foamed, disappointment, and now, okay, they have to live in a fearful condition of life, saying, like, always thinking that, what's next? You know, I worked that hard, got some temporary pleasure, disappointed, what's next? Do I work hard again? Well, if I work hard again, am I gonna lose it again? Am I gonna be disappointed again? You know, where's it end? And actually, where's it end? Ma. Mityu. The last syllable. Death. So there's pa, 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 ba, ba, and ma. Which is hard labor, foaming at the mouth, disappointment, fear. Ma, mityu, death. And what is life meant for? Apavarga. Pavarga means how to live. Pavarga means, you know, the cycle of suffering in the material world. And apavarga means liberation. How to become free from this condition of life. So King Puchina Bahishat was addicted to these fruitive activities, and Narada Muni was, you know, trying to tell him, you know, hey, wake up. And what are you doing? You know, look at your sons. Your sons, they all performed great sacrifices, chanted the prayers or instructed to them by Lord Shiva, they achieved devotional service, and here you are, you know, still performing these sacrifices, and these animals are going to come back and pierce you in the future because of your addiction to fruitive activities. You should wake up. In fact, one verse he quoted to him, to King Puchinha Bahisha, he says, oh, you are free from sinful activity. He says that a person cannot counteract fruitive activity by performing another activity which is devoid of Krishna, by performing another fruitive activity which is devoid of Krishna consciousness. And he said, a person who does this is just like a person who tries to awaken from a bad dream with a hallucination. And he said, actually, such materialistic life is a life of ignorance and illusion. So just as, and he says the person, instead of waking from a bad dream, from an hallucination, with an hallucination, he has to, the best thing he has to do is to fully wake up. And therefore, tells King Pachinibharashat that the solution is that the only solution to the problems of life is that can only be achieved when one awakens to Krishna consciousness. That is the real waking up. Otherwise, one is still in a sleeping condition. So he says to King Pachinibharashat that you're trying to counteract the reactions of fruitive activities, which was vyartata, disappointment. And therefore you're trying to counteract the reaction of fruitive activities by engaging in another fruitive activity. Or like Prabhupada says, it's like the person who carries the heavy load on one shoulder and he thinks, oh, this is killing me. And what does he do? He puts it on the other shoulder. So he's counteracted the suffering of the right shoulder by putting all the weight on the left shoulder. So he thinks, wow, that's a relief. But all the weight's now on the left shoulder. So he says, you're trying to counteract all the reactions of your fruitive activity by performing another fruitive activity which is devoid of Krishna consciousness. Because karmakanda, jnanakanda, kevala vishera bhanda, as Narottam Das Thakur, they're like stalks of poison. It's like poison. Or just like the verse Krishna says, that he says the flowery words of the Vedas are like the flowers on a tree. The flowers appear very attractive, but they're poisonous. They're poisonous. One is attracted to the flowery, beautiful flowers in the tree, so one is thinking, oh yes, let me enjoy them. But when one takes them, it's poison. So, karmakanda, jnanakanda, kevala vishera bandha. Therefore, he's saying that these activities are like two stalks of poison. One has to give them up. So, or like that verse I oftentimes quote from Prahlad Maharaj. It's one of my favorite verses where Prahlad Maharaj says, in the material world, every materialist is endeavoring for happiness and he's trying to mitigate his distress and therefore he acts accordingly. Actually, one cannot be happy as long as he endeavors for happiness, because as soon as he begins his endeavors for happiness, he creates all his conditions for future distress. Wraps it up. Puts it right in a nutshell for his classmates, okay? In the material world, everyone's trying to be happy and they're trying to avoid suffering. So, therefore, he says, therefore, as long as one endeavors for happiness, he's going to create suffering for himself. He creates all his future conditions for distress. One cannot be happy as long as he continues his endeavors for happiness, because as soon as he begins his endeavors for happiness, he creates all his conditions for his future distress. But he's blind. Numam pramatak kuruteva karma, as Lord Rishabhdevi says. Person is pramata. I think the word is here. Yeah, pramatasya. I'll probably translate pramatasya here as inattentive. But in Lord Rishabhdevi's instruction, pramata means mad. Crazy. When a person becomes mad after sense gratification, he engages in all kinds of activities, and he thinks that, hey, I'm enjoying, but he doesn't understand that all this enjoyment is simply creating more distress for the future. So someone may think, yeah, it's good. I'm not suffering. In fact, I even get a little enjoyment from time to time. Life's good. Life's good. Why don't I pass my time this way and just kind of float and keep things cool? And, you know, maybe I won't. I'm afraid. I won't do anything I try to do. But you can't live like that. You can't live like that. Because as Narada Muni says, that it's any way that you enjoy and you're inattentive, pramatasya, you're inattentive to your Krishna consciousness, forget it. It won't work. It's going to come back again. You're going to get it. There's just no way around it. It's the laws of nature. And someone said, well, I'm a devotee, I chant Hare Krishna, you know, so at least I have some hope, you know. But yes, I'm a devotee, I chant Hare Krishna. And all my sinful reactions have been eradicated, and I can float and not have to worry that at least maybe I'll get some double promotion at the end of this life. And, you know, but it's just, you know, Prabhupada says it's like a razor's edge. We can slip at any moment and fall. And therefore, our only safe place in the material world is to be endeavoring to please Krishna. That's our only safe place in the material world. Anything else is a risk. It's a big risk. All right? Anything else is just a big risk. Why take the risk? Why risk floating in a state of non-suffering? When one can actually voluntarily accept, as you know, Lord Rishabhdev told his sons, he not only said Nunam Pramatak Guru Teva Karma, but he also said, my dear sons, he said, one who's been awarded the human form of life should not waste it like the animals, like the hogs and dogs that eat stool. Instead, one should perform divine austerities and penances to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead. By such activities, one actually becomes happy and becomes and eradicates all his sinful reactions and becomes happy. And then this is real happiness, which is transcendental to material happiness and which continues forever. So Lord Rishabhdev, it was his first instruction he told his sons, you know, by saying, you know, like, don't get entangled in these fruitive activities. And instead, engage in devotional service. Engage in divine austerities and penances to please the Lord. Prahlad Maharaj even told his classmates, he said, my dear friends, he says, in the same way that one sees himself and takes care of himself, take the devotional service and please the Supreme Lord who is the super soul in the heart of all living beings. Prahlad told his classmates, he said, look how much energy you put into taking care of yourself. If you could only use that same energy to do something to please the Lord, that same energy, then life could become successful. So, of course, fruitive activities are centered on some pleasure, some gain for the future, some, what we may think, some pleasurable activity that will bring me some happiness, and therefore it's worth undergoing the inconvenience I have to undergo in order to obtain it. But a devotee is one, was it? Narottam Das Thakur says, he talks about kama, krodha, loba, mada, matsarya. Kama, he said, lust I will dovetail by taking all the fruits of my activities and offering it to the Lord. Kama, krodha. Krodha, anger, I will dovetail by becoming angry at those who are offenders of the Vaishnavas of the Lord. Greed, I will dovetail by becoming greedy for the association of saintly persons. Mada, madness. When will I become mad after love for Krishna? Moha, bewildered. I'm becoming so addicted to satisfy the Lord that it's bewildering me. But nonetheless, in that state of bewilderment, I know nothing except Krishna. Matsaya, sorry. Envy, can't dovetail. There's no dovetailing for envy. You can't say, oh, let me be envious of this person for Krishna's service. No, don't work. So therefore he says, kama, lust, means, okay, I'm thinking about some fruit. I'll work hard for it. But when I got it, okay, Krishna, it's all yours. It's all yours. Let me dovetail the fruits of my fruitive mentality by offering it to Krishna. And of course, when a devotee actually cultivates this kind of conviction that shvara shabde vishvash kahi sujida nishchaya Krishna bhakti kaile kama krita karma sarva kama krita haya. And shraddha means firm faith that by engaging in devotional service to Krishna, all subsidiary duties will automatically be fulfilled. That is Shraddha, that is faith. Let me have that kind of faith by and making the efforts, making the endeavors to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Because by such activities, one's heart becomes purified, one becomes cleansed, and the reactions to sinful life can be completely eradicated. And the devotee is assured of success in this life. This is what Narada Muni was trying to tell King Puchinabharashat, and by telling him the story of King Paranjana. And this way he's making a very, very elaborate story, and which is actually the story of King Puchinabharashat. And I think it was referred to yesterday when he said, like you. Yeah, he said, like you. I said, he's like you. But actually, Narada Muni is saying, he is you. This is you. But he couldn't tell him, this is you. But he's like you. So, thus King Paranjana, being attached to fruitive activities, karma kandya, as well as kith and kin. Prabhupada talked about this yesterday, how poor people are working very, very, very hard in order to provide happiness for future generations. Right? How can I, work hard now so that the future generation can have material happiness? Right? Like, I know that when I was a kid, I always used to hear from my parents, we want you to have what we didn't have. Right? My mother never realized I got it. But she thinks that I didn't. She thought that I didn't. But they said, we want you to have what we didn't have. Therefore, we're willing to make these sacrifices so that you can you can be happy. Right? But actually, this is the same point that's being made here. Because of his attachment to the fruit of activities, as well as kith and kin, and being obsessed with polluted consciousness, eventually arrived at that point not very much liked by those who are overly attached to material things. Well, that means what happens? Old age. Not very much.
Not very much liked.
Not very much liked. Right? It's not very much liked. Although sometimes people think it's the best years of their life. The famous bumper sticker I remember seeing on the back of a big caravan. We're enjoying our children's inheritance. Huge mobile home. It's like a 35, 40 foot mobile home, like a palace. And the bumper sticker on the back says, we're enjoying our children's inheritance. So they think, yes, it's the time to enjoy. But it's not the time to enjoy, it's the time to prepare for death. But everybody thinks, I didn't have it. But that's usually what they do. Instead of enjoying, they just spend all their time lamenting that life's they're at their end of their life. I probably shouldn't say this because my mother passed away, but it really represents this point. I remember it was the year before my mother passed away. She was 89 at the time. And she was staying at this, I think it was Whittier Rehabilitation Center in Framingham or something like that, somewhere off Route 9. And it was a place where a lot of people went for rehabilitation. She had, I think, a pacemaker, not a pacemaker, something put in. Can't remember what it was, sorry. She had to undergo rehabilitation. And I went to visit her, and it was difficult for her. But in her mind, it was temporary. You know, she was going to go out and go back to where she was. And she brought me into the other room and sat me down. And she looked at me and she said, "I don't like it here." I said, "Why? It seems like a van." "I don't like it here. All these people are old and sick." I said, she was angry. She was very angry. She didn't want to be all around all these people who are old and sick. I was quiet. I didn't say anything. I didn't know what to say. You know, you're 89. And everything was breaking down in her body. But as far as she was concerned, she was going to live to be 200. They don't. It's the time. Nobody wants to face it. Nobody wants to prepare. In fact, the first thing my sister said to me when I came from across the seas, overseas, was just a week, 2 weeks before my mother passed, she said, "Preach to your mother, will you? She thinks she's not going to die." Nobody wants to confront it. Instead of preparing, nobody wants to confront it. So therefore the point is made here. Because they're working so hard, avoiding suffering, trying to eke out as much as possible enjoyment as they get at the fag end of their life, they're blind and can't understand that cruel death is there at any moment going to take them away, and they do absolutely nothing. Nothing to prepare for that time. What a waste. What a waste. And yet, we all think it's not going to happen to any of us. You know, I'm not going to get old. But it happens really fast. Right? Really fast. Faster than usually when we expected it to happen. So, this is what Narada Muni is trying to tell King Pujinabharashat. Wake up, get it together. Look, your kids are way ahead of you. You're just still addicted to fruitive activities. You know, you better wake up and realize that you got something more to do in this life than just perform these foolish fruitive activities and prepare yourself for what life's all about. So such a saintly person as Narada Muni, of course, he's such a merciful Vaishnava that sometimes he undergoes great inconvenience for the sake of bringing people to a higher level of consciousness and making them realize that it's time to do something, time to get serious. So that's what he's doing here to King Pachinibharishat. And for those who are interested to hear about King Pachinibharishat's life as represented by King Paranjana, then you'll find everything contained within the following verses of this chapter. Hare Krishna. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. We'll end here. I have a person coming to meet me in just a few minutes. He's going to be here.